100% perfect. I'm not 100% perfect. Well, now I have to have the same feeling within me as one who is not eaten. Because until righteousness, you know, John in 1 John 3 describes righteousness that whoever does righteousness is righteous. You can't say you're righteous and not do righteous. If you do iniquity, you're not righteous. So you haven't obtained it. So imagine someone who's like me, 36 years old, and I've never been righteous. I've never obtained full righteousness. It's like one who has never eaten a meal in their life. How hungry we ought to be at this time. How hungry we ought to be after having come so far and not yet eaten and not yet tasted of the true righteousness of God, which is perfect righteousness, which is righteousness without spot, which is righteousness without a little bit of iniquity here, a little dab of iniquity there. It is righteousness that is pure. Because righteousness plus a little iniquity is iniquity. That's the way Christ taught. That's the way the apostles taught. That a little leaven leavens the whole thing. That, you know, if I say the window is clean and you look at it and you see a big or even a little smudge in the middle, you're going to say, well, it's got a smudge right there. And it's made the window dirty. And it's a dirty window. It's not a clean window. Same thing with unrighteousness. You can take something that's 100% wicked and add a little bit of righteousness to it. It's still wicked and dirty. That's how it works. We need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that we may obtain it. We will be filled. Jesus promised, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled with righteousness. Not halfway, but completely. You're not going to have, I'll fill you with righteousness and poison. I will fill you with righteousness and iniquity. No, I'm going to fill you with righteousness and nothing but. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That is why we deal with people on the basis of mercy. Be merciful to people. I mean, even, you know, people who seek mercy ought to be shown mercy. People who don't seek it, I like to err on the side of mercy, even though they're not seeking it. Unless I absolutely feel this person needs to be dealt with on a basis of judgment. And you go, Paul, judgment? My God, you know, the thing is, God has already judged things. I'll tell you something, miserable are those who use bad judgment. We have to exercise good judgment. As Jesus Christ himself said, do not judge after the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And use mercy in judgment. Jesus said when he talks to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 28 or 23 about the same ideas here, except there he's saying, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. And there he says, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Those are the weightiest matters. Those are the things, because those are the core things, the judgment of God, the mercy of God, and our faith. God's judgment is against all that is iniquity, all that is evil. He has judged already. It is not really for us to judge, except perhaps matters of conscience. There's very little judgment for a Christian to even do. And that's why Jesus said it. And well, we're going to get to judge not when we do Matthew chapter 7, which is right around the corner. But look at, what if we are unmerciful? What if we are without mercy? Then we will not be shown mercy. He that hath shown no mercy will receive judgment without mercy. Because God's going to be merciless in his judgment of you. That is not how I want to be when God judges me. I want God to judge me with the same kind of mercy I show other people. And at the same time, I do not want to be slack in judgment, that I pervert judgment by being merciful where God would have me be firm and not be overly merciful. Meaning, you may think like, well, total mercy, to give complete mercy and totally let someone go, you think of that as mercy. But there's also the possibility that mercy may have some sort of in-between, meaning you're not being as hard on them as you could. I think of the way God has dealt with me in my life is that mercy hasn't been softness. It has been that he hasn't been as harsh as he could have been. That is mercy. Mercy is to take the edge off and to not be as hard as we could be, because judgment and correction can come to us for our benefit. Yeah, when judgment comes to the wicked, it's not for their benefit, it's for their punishment. But look at, when we judge others, we want to judge them in our own way, in the same way we want to be judged. We want to judge to be judged, meaning our judgment, we want to be able to apply it to ourselves and say, okay, I'm willing to submit myself to that judgment. Because Jesus said, you're going to be judged the way you judge others. So I want to have all my judgment tempered with mercy. So that when Christ judges me, he will temper his judgment with mercy. And I want not to need total mercy. I want Christ to work in me to Lift me up out of those circumstances so that I could walk righteously in His Spirit and in His way and according to Him and to grow up into Him as the Apostle Paul taught. If we want mercy, then we're going to have to give it. We're going to have to show it to others. You know, I'll tell you what, you better be especially careful. When people start asking forgiveness, and people say, oh, forgive me, that's the time when you need to be merciful. I think a lot of times you have stubborn people who are just so wicked and cruel, and they don't want to show any sign of weakness. And you think, oh, why do I have to bother with this person, right? And you want to just deal mercilessly with them. And I would recommend rather something that is tempered with mercy, meaning be careful. But the other side of this is that God is not showing mercy to all. To the merciless, He will be merciless. His judgment will not be tempered with mercy for those who do not temper theirs with mercy. He will not give absolute mercy to those who do not give absolute mercy to those who seek it. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, John said something very interesting. He says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. I mean, as long as we are in sin, as long as we serve sin, because Jesus said whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. To commit sin is to be a servant of it. And if we are servants of sin, we cannot see God. If we do sin, we cannot see God. We have to be separated from it. We have to hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled with righteousness so that we could see God. And that is the purity of heart. Because as long as our heart is not pure, we will sin. It is when God purifies our heart. We need Him to purify our heart. I don't know how to purify my heart. My heart has been wicked since I can remember. There's always been things in my heart that think evil, that want to be evil, that want to do evil, you know. And I have seen Him take some of those things out and change my heart. I want Him to change all of it. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can tell it? I, the Lord, try the reins. I judge the heart. God can take care of our heart problem, you know, the need we have. And remember, the new covenant is, I will write their laws in their, my laws, I'm sorry, in their hearts. It means, I just went over Hebrews, it means more than just to say, oh, I've memorized God's commandments. That's not writing God's law in your heart. To write the law in your heart means your heart is pure to want to do His commandments without being told. To have a pure heart is to have this knowledge in us. To know that we don't want to do the things